This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Marilyn Gleason. An injured climber was rescued on Friday on Maroon Peak after falling approximately 1,000 feet down the Bell Cord snowfield. The climber's injuries were non-life-threatening, which a sheriff's officer called very lucky. The report came into dispatch a little after 8:30 Friday morning. Mountain Rescue Aspen was alerted, and two field teams of 11 members were deployed to the steep snow terrain. Rescuers were at the trailhead before 10 and reached the climber at 12:20 p.m. They stabilized injuries and lowered the climber back down, arriving back to the trailhead a little after 3. The rescued climber declined further medical care at the trailhead, according to the release. The Pickens County Sheriff's Office reminds climbers and hikers to be prepared for potential injuries in technical terrain, dress appropriately, bring technical gear, and carry a two-way satellite communication device when traveling in remote areas. The Marble Report, Angus Barber, and some perennial town issues are back. We'll hear from Angus to get the lowdown on the upper end of the Crystal River Valley. It's May. There has been another town meeting in Marble, and Angus Barber is back in the studio with me. Hi, Angus.
Hi, Marilyn. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Welcome back. There were a few actions taken in May at the Marble meeting. One of them has to do with people camping on their own property in Marble. What's the story there?
During the summer, people tend to come back from their vacations or wherever it is they've been hiding. What people will tend to do is they'll bring an RV with them and park it on their lot whilst they work on their property. For that, you need a camping permit from the town, assuming the lot itself is within the confines of the town.
So wait a minute. In Marble, if I want to park my RV on my lot, I need a camping permit.
Correct. It will cost you $25 for 2 weeks. And the issue, the main issue around that, is that what are you going to do with the waste that you produce?
To empty their potties.
Correct, yeah. And in the past, people have taken it to the Marble Campground, which is a wonderful little spot, by the way. But they are being discouraged from doing that this year. So nowadays they either have to engage a firm to come up and pump their stuff, or get rid of it further down valley.
And the other issue with that is the town is having to process a lot of paperwork every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's administratively burdensome on the board, and I think going forward they're going to try and switch it to an annual permit, which will allow anyone who wants to use it to sort of just come back and pay the $25 for any two-week period they want.
Okay. And was that passed? Is that in action?
Not yet, but it, like a lot of other things in Marble, it's up for discussion for maybe an extended period of time.
Speaking of things that are up for discussion for an extended period of time, the big ongoing debate in Marble, and we talked about this the last time, is about mixed-use zoning along Main Street. Maybe we can just talk a little bit about mixed-use zoning and what that means in Marble.
Okay, so mixed-use zoning is a category of zoning that allows people to both live and run a business from their residence. People have been allowed to apply kind of willy-nilly on an ad hoc basis, if you like, to change the zoning on their property throughout the town, which, I mean, there is some fear that if your neighbor suddenly is allowed to run a business from his or her house, then that might upset you, which might give rise to you taking legal action against the town for allowing that zoning decision. And the town is very, very fearful of being in that situation. There is a proposal in front of the board to allow residents in the town, living alongside the main drag through town, so from the Raspberry Inn Cafe all the way through to Beaver Lake, to actually be able to run businesses from their properties.
So this particular item has been on the agenda for months and months.
18 months.
18 months.
And counting. I think the majority of the board are for it, simply because it's, well, it simplifies everything. But they are keen to put it out to a public hearing. And that hearing is going to take place within the meeting that is scheduled for June the 4th. So people are invited to come along to that and throw in their two cents.
That meeting next Thursday takes place at the Marble Community Church Fellowship Hall, starting at 6 p.m. Thanks so much for coming in, Angus.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Angus Barber reports on the actions of the Marble trustees for the Soper Sun and shared his insights with Katie and Kay. Getting medical care for pets can be a hassle, especially for folks who find it hard to get around town. That's where mobile veterinary clinics come in. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Mariel Day tagged along with one in Nevada and witnessed how accessible they can be for clients and pets alike.
He says, "Hi, I'm Ramon. I'm 18 years old. I'm cranky. I poop."
Lloyd Scott sits on his walker in his living room. Not far away, Ramon, a Chihuahua mix, stands next to his bed. Veterinarian Renee Bufkin sits nearby on a step trying to gain Ramon's confidence. After hearing that he likes his ear rubbed, she immediately scratches the spot, and that's all it took for Ramon to warm up to her. Scott has been a client of Vet2Pet for as long as he could remember. And now that he's in his late 70s, having a mobile vet clinic come to his house has become even more beneficial for him.
I'm telling you, walking for me has gotten to be a real journey and not a pleasant one.
Scott needs his walker to get around his house, and driving to a vet clinic can be challenging. So when he got Ramon a couple weeks ago, he knew just who to call.
Is he on any medications?
No.
Flea tick heartworm, pain
no.
meds, anything like that?
No, his previous person...
Bufkin started Vet2Pet in 2006. Prior to that, she worked in a few brick-and-mortar veterinary clinics.
It used to be veterinarians would be, you know, nose to the grindstone all the time, and they were on call and all that kind of stuff. And just that doesn't work out with the schedule of people who want to start families and be at home more.
Bufkin says mobile vet clinics are suitable for those who prefer in-home euthanasia or end-of-life care, and for owners who don't want their pets exposed to pathogens in a veterinary hospital. And for people like Scott, it's less strain on an older dog like Ramon to simply stay at home where he feels the most comfortable. Inside Scott's home, Bufkin was able to do a checkup. She brought her scale, a stethoscope, chip reader, and a few other necessities to figure out if Ramon needs further medical care.
Did you want to go outside, Ramon? Huh? Did you eat your nummies?
As Ramon repeatedly walks from his bed to the backyard, then to the kitchen to drink water, and back to the living room, Bufkin discusses Ramon's medical needs.
Just because this is a new house for him, so if he stumbles over things, it's because he can't see them, okay? Teeth, obviously, are a serious concern.
Homeward Bound, also a mobile vet clinic, has been around for nearly as many years. Henry Bell, part owner and practice manager of the clinic, says a benefit of a mobile clinic is seeing the pets in their natural element.
Certain anomalies that people can't explain, hey, my dog's or my cat's throwing up and it's lethargic, it's doing this, you know, and we go into the house and we see a poisonous plant. So we're like, well, that could be your problem.
But a few cons can be the cost because of the travel fee, he says. And the limited services, since they're not a full clinic.
The way the teeth are, you're probably going to be looking $1,500, $2,000 would be my guess.
I don't have that.
But
back
options?
In Scott's home, Bufkin tells him a few options he could do with Ramon's teeth. But for Scott, a retired veteran on a fixed income, the cost is too high. Bufkin understands and says giving him love and attention during the dog's last years is enough.
Thank you ever so much. How much I owe you, sweetheart?
Just the usual $10,000. You know what? Don't worry. Don't worry about it this time. Catch me.
While Bufkin and Scott bid goodbyes to one another, Ramon patiently waits for his turn. Bufkin then pets Ramon and tells him to be a good boy.
This is the only thing he likes is getting his inside of his ears rubbed.
That was Mariel Day for the Mountain West News Bureau. This is KDNK News.